Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight, we are heading to the state of Kansas, where this man and his son had purchased this property, a small farm, if you will, just to escape the city life and all the drama and all the traffic and everything that the city provides. He wanted a fresh, clean start. But unfortunately for him, it was not what he was looking for. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I was from the city. I had dreams of escaping the busy day-to-day shuffles of it all, and always dreamed of living in a small town away from everything. After months of hunting and arguing with realtors, I found some property I wanted to call my own and start a new life with my son. It was a small farming town in Kansas with a population of around 2,000 people. It was perfect. I bought the land, packed me and my son Elijah's things in a U-Haul, and we made our journey to our new home. Looking back on it, he was more excited about it than I was, and I was pretty dang excited myself. Me and my son's escape from everything, and to start a fresh new chapter in our new lives. My son was just coming up on 9 years old. His new school was close to our new farm, and he didn't have many friends in the city, so I knew the move was going to be good for him. His mother, my wife, passed away when he was at an early age due to an illness, so I was filling in both parents. He was a pretty good kid, though, always energetic and curious, just like his mother. The farm I bought was called Crow's Rest. It had a couple of acres filled with sweet corn that was already taller than me. A lot of it was ready to harvest, too, and I was excited to get started in our new venture. When I saw the layout online, I could only think, it's perfect. It wasn't too big, not too small either. The two-story house on the property looked like it wasn't in bad shape either. Like someone recently fixed it up. The bank said the last owners just abandoned it out of nowhere, and I was able to get it for a steal. They said it's common for people to get overwhelmed by the high maintenance it takes to run a farm. I knew I was ready, though. After hours of driving across the states, we finally arrived at our new home. It was about noon when we arrived at Crow's Rest for the first time. The way the fields and the house brightened in the countryside sunlight, it was beautiful. Elijah could barely contain himself in the passenger seat when we pulled up, quickly pulling on the door handle, yelling and screaming in excitement. I was happy he liked it. Again, seeing him happy was worth it all to me. I parked the car and he was already in the fields, running down the walking path, wowing it all. I also started making my way into the path, so I could finally scope it all out in person. One thing the photos didn't show me was the number of crows on the property was overwhelming. They did forewarn me it wasn't just a name. Crows seemed to gather here a lot, but they were double the amount of what they had showed me in the property photos. I didn't let it get to me, though. It was the least of our issues. I knew there would be a couple of things they'd sneak past us. "Dad, look over here!" I heard Elijah yell in excitement. I made my way over to him to see what he was so excited about and what he was staring at. It was a scarecrow. I walked up next to Elijah. He was so excited to see it. It was positioned on this tall wooden cross that hung over the cornfields. Its arms were wrapped around the sides like it was nailed to look like it was just standing there, with its hands grasping the sides of the cross. I remember I thought then it looked eerie, to say the least. On our bright, happy new farm, This scarecrow was a dark figure in its all, and it wasn't doing the best at its job, as the crows rested on the cross with it on top of its shoulders. As I looked closely at its face, all I saw were stitches of eyes and a mouth with hay sticking out, with a nose necktie around its neck to hold its potato sack head. I looked around its body. It wore handmade clothing with little gaps of hay sticking out through the holes. The clothing were like farmer's clothes, but they were all dark shades from being dirty and worn. It wore a dark black trench coat that was worn out and ripped up near the bottom. It wore black boots, much like farm workers wear, with a toe box that looked like it had seen better days. And lastly, a dark sun hat on his head as a finishing touch. It felt like it didn't fit in with the rest of the farm, but Elijah seemed to love him. "Can I name him, Dad? Please, please?" he said with excitement. I did not want to ruin his happiness with how off-putting the thing made me feel. What the heck, I thought. If he enjoyed it, I figured I'd suffer with the eyesore for him. Yeah, go ahead. Name it whatever you want. Elijah thought on it for a bit. He looked around the farm and at all the crows, and then back to the scarecrow. "Tobias, traitor to all crowkind," he said with an innocence in his voice. Honestly, giving it a name like that made it seem more or less eerie, weirdly enough. "Tobias it is, then." With an arm around him, I said, "Come on, let's get our things unpacked and check out the new place," I said, directing him back towards the direction of the car. Crows cawing all around us as we made our way back. The first couple of weeks were great. I started getting a handle on the whole farm life. Got all the equipment and tools we needed, some minor fixer-ups around the house and the barn, and even told Elijah soon we could start picking out some animals. Even made our way in the town, getting to know a lot of the locals. Many of them have never heard of Crow's Rest when I brought it up, which was strange to me as how close to town it was. They were excited about the corn I was promising everyone, though. Everything was perfect until it started happening all at once. I was working on the barn out back, on the opposite side of the crops, away from the house. I was giving it a fresh coat of paint that it desperately needed. When I heard Elijah in the fields, it was like he was talking to someone. Curious about it all, I yelled out to him. "Who are you talking to, buddy?" It was quiet for a bit. I got worried, so I dropped my brushes and walked over to where the walkway that went through the field. "Elijah," I said again. Then he hopped out from the crops, looking at me like he did something wrong and was scared to be in trouble. I tried to see what was the matter. "What's up, buddy? Who were you talking to? The birds?" I said jokingly. But he had a nervous face on him.
"I was talking to Tobias," he said, still nervously.
I didn't think much of it, so I added to it.
"Oh yeah? What did Tobias have to say? Is he ready for some new clothing, because those aren't looking so pleasant nowadays?" I continued joking, as I was whipping some paint that got on my hands on my pants and started walking back towards the barn side.
"Tobias doesn't talk much, he just listens. He waved at me, so I waved back at him and asked how he was," Elijah said.
"It waved at him?"
It must have been the crow's movement, and he got it confused. Still, I didn't want him to think it could move.
"I don't think Tobias can move, buddy. He is made of straw, after all."
Elijah interrupted me before I could finish.
"He does move, Dad. I've seen it," he yelled out to me.
I had no idea what he was talking about or to even respond back to it.
"Are you sure, buddy? When did you see such a thing? Or have I been missing something?" I said, clearly arguing with a 9-year-old about if a scarecrow has moved or not.
"Well, he waved at me, and he leaves his cross at night. I see him moving the fields sometimes, and last night he was standing in front of our house."
My heart stopped. What did he just say? The other stuff I could let go to his wild imagination. But if he saw someone standing in front of our house, that's when it started to become alarming for me.
Wait, you saw someone standing in front of our house last night? And you see people moving in the fields? Why haven't you told me any of this until now? Elijah looked nervous, like he was in trouble for not mentioning it to me sooner. But this was concerning. I tried to level with him on it. Hey, you're not in trouble. But things like this I gotta know about, buddy. I can't have people running around our property. It's not safe. I tried reassuring him if someone was stalking around the farm at night, I wanted to know about it. I'm glad he told me now so I could keep more of an eye out.
It's not people, though, Dad. It's Tobias.
Again, he tries to tell me it's the Scarecrow, which in reality was probably better he thought that than being some person. I didn't want to argue with him and upset him, so I dropped it for now. Okay, let's call it a day and get some dinner ready. I put an arm around him, looking around our fields as we started to head back to the house, looking at Tobias hanging there before heading out of the fields. That night after dinner, I put Elijah to bed and was on my computer working for a bit. I still worked from home remotely even though we were doing the farm now, just to make sure we had some cash flow still, and I'd stay up the night finishing the work pretty late, usually to about midnight. That night I kept thinking about what Elijah said about people in our fields. It concerned me, so I figured I would just report it to the local authorities in the morning, just to have it documented. It was probably just some local kids playing in our fields, if anything. Then I heard something outside. It sounded like slow trotting footsteps right outside the other side of the wall where I was sitting. I froze. There really was someone outside. What should I do? I remember thinking. I didn't even own a gun yet. Honestly, didn't think I needed one. I slowly started to get up out of my chair and quickly made it over to the lamp to turn out the lights. I wanted to make the room as dark as possible so I could maybe sneak a peek out the window to see who it was before it could see me. I heard the slow walking thud of whatever it was still, but it wasn't in the vision of the window corner I was peeking out of yet. I could feel my heart pounding, nervously waiting to see whatever was freely walking our property, hoping it was just some animal. Then I heard something, very quietly. I heard words. You're not real. Follow my voice. I can help you. It's just story. Lost in the dark, all alone. Let me in. It's here. Let me in.
It was like broken sentences, with long pauses in between them. It said these things with a rustic, whistling-like voice. No doubt about it. Someone was outside just freely walking our property. Hearing the voices only made me angrier, honestly. I refused to let someone just freely walk our property. I finally gathered the courage up, grabbing a baseball bat I had downstairs, and started to make it to the front door. I swung it open and ran to the side of the house facing the fields, where I swore I heard footsteps. I saw nothing. All I could hear now was the wind blowing and the crops swaying back and forth. I was so confused. I know I heard something. The night sky was clear, so I could see around me, but not well enough to look for people's footprints. I didn't know what to do. Then suddenly, loud crashing started, like someone was knocking over plates, photo frames off the walls, and even the chairs. It's inside my house, whatever it is. It was in my dang house. It must have snuck through the front door when I came outside. My heart dropped. How could I be so careless? Oh my God, Elijah! I panicked. I quickly bolted to the front door of the house. Going through the front door, it looked like someone had led a rampaging bull into our house. Everything was knocked over and smashed on the ground. Glass was shattered all over the kitchen floor. I was trying to move around to avoid stepping on any glass. I started hearing the rustic whistling voice again. Only this time, it was yelling violently, screeching more words throughout my house.
Down the lane through the field, I hear crows. Don't open your eyes.
I made it past the kitchen, scrabbling to make it to the stairway as fast as I could. Whatever this thing was, it was upstairs, rampaging around. I had to get to Elijah as fast as possible. It continued to scream things upstairs as it was moving around like it was looking for something.
Olivia, hide. It's coming, Olivia. You're not real. Monster. Help me. Open the... Keep running. It won't die.
Everything it was saying didn't make sense. Like figments of sentences, but every word held weight to them. Its voice was terrifying, whatever it was. I knew it couldn't be human after hearing it scream. I made it to the top of the steps, hearing a blood-curdling scream from Elijah in his room.
Daddy, help me! It's gonna get me!
He said in a tone that was pure terror behind every word. I pushed off into the hallway. The sides of the walls had holes and claw marks all up on the sides, like something was pulling its way through the walkway. The door to his room was ripped off and hanging against the wall in the hallway. A loud crash, like broken glass, came from inside his room. I finally turned into his room to see no one there. I looked around in a frenzied panic. His room was destroyed, like it ran around fighting to grab him. I screamed out for him.
Elijah, where are you?
I heard him scream again. I noticed Elijah's window was broken open like something busted through it and had jumped out. I rushed over and looked out, broken glass on the ground below. And then I saw him. Something dragging my son from behind into the fields as he continued to scream out for me, disappearing into the field, only able to see the corn parting from above as they moved deeper into the thick of it. I turned around, making my way back downstairs and outside, bolting in the direction of the fields where he was getting dragged off to. Every chance I could, I screamed out for him more. Elijah's screams echoed through the night as it dragged him through the cornfields. My baby boy, begging for his daddy's help as it pulled him deeper into the fields with its rustic screeching howl through the night. I was helpless to protect him. Unable to do anything for him, I couldn't match its speed. It moved so fluently through the field as the crows above blanketed the skies like it was its servants, watching me helplessly trail behind them, squeaking and screaming at me as I pushed past the tall corn stalks, trying to keep close. Elijah's faint screaming led me towards where it was taking him. I felt so hopeless. Tears started to river down my face. I lost his mother, and now I'm going to lose my boy. I swore I would look after him, honey. His screams eventually stopped, but I continued mine, hoping to hear back from him and to let him know Daddy was coming. I pushed past out of the field into one of our path's clearings in between the crops. There he was. Elijah was lying there. He was cut up, but he looked okay. Relief started to overtake me. I started to run towards him. Once in my embrace, nothing could take him from me. He was lying on his side, slowly getting up like whatever had dropped him had gone deeper into the crops. He looked up at me, crying and terrified. He screamed, "Daddy, help me! Get me out of here, please!" He started to stand now. "I'm so scared," while tears were streaming down his face. "I'm coming, buddy. It's going to be okay. You're safe now." As I got closer to him, I felt better that I was about to scoop him up in my arms and get him out of there, away from whatever hell this is. Right when I got close enough, what looked like 8 silhouettes of hands reaching out from the crops, grabbing onto him violently before I could, plunging him into the fields, dragging him across the ground back into the thickets of the corn stalk again. He instantly screamed out to me with his surprised shock. Only this time, our eyes were locked together as he was dragged into the crop.
"Elijah, no! Grab my hand!"
I screamed out,
as all the hopeful feelings I felt being so close to him got ripped again right in front of my eyes. I followed behind him, reaching out to try and grab his hand. But it wasn't enough, every attempt failing, just barely missing his touch. Then the thicket of the cornstalk was no more. The area was laid out like it was a small crop circle. The sky above was nearly blacked out from the swarm of swirling crows overhead. But I could finally see the thing that had took my son and the bit of the moonlight that peeked through. It was Tobias. The scarecrow was alive. Elijah was right. I felt ineffable fear as I watched this thing. It leaned back as its chest was ripped open, with only I could describe as shadows coming from its chest, formulating what looked to be over 20 silhouettes of hands grabbing and wrapping around Elijah. Some flailed about frantically, moving so inhuman, grasping at the air, some grabbing at the ground, while the others wrapped around Elijah. One of the hands now reached out, covering his mouth as it muffled his screams. I didn't know what to do as it screamed out another rustic saying,
"Tobias can't move. He is made of straw."
With tears streaming down his face, Elijah held his hand out towards me. The hands slowly wrapped and warped around him, pulling him into the eternal void of his chest. He slowly disappeared into the void of its chest until only an arm was hanging out, eventually being pulled from it. After consuming him, all the hands went back inside. Its chest started sewing itself back up as it leaned forward, now hunched over. I was in a coma of fear as I watched it. I couldn't move a single muscle in my body. The only noise now was the crows overhead, squawking and flying in circles around us. The scarecrow twitched every couple of seconds. It slowly began to move again, looking up towards me, staring into my soul with its sewn-together face. It said one final thing that night.
"It's just a scarecrow. Don't be afraid."
There was calm still after that. Then it let out another rustic scream that pierced through the night sky, sending all the crows flying in different directions. I couldn't fight this thing. That had to be some embodiment of a living nightmare. Adrenaline pumping through me, I bolt backward. Out of the clearing onto the trail heading back to my house, it pushed out the crops, falling over as it chased in the direction I was running, quickly recovering and crawling after me in all fours like some animal. I looked back at it. The silhouettes of all the hands had returned, flailing around its body. They moved like snakes in different directions frantically around its body. It used them to grab the ground and move faster towards me, screaming in rustic howl as it chased after me. I turned the corner where the barn was, and the final pathway stretched to the front of the house and the truck. It was toying with me, screaming from behind me, still howling its rustic screech into the night sky as it crawled behind me, like it wanted me to feel hopeful that I could escape before it took me, like before when it took... I just kept running. I made it back to the front of the house and headed to my truck. I kept a spare key inside and left it unlocked that night, thank God. I jumped in, locked it, and turned it on. The headlights flashed in front of me, but I didn't see anything. I quickly put it in reverse and wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. My heart was pounding and tears rolling down my face. I was unable to protect him, feeling I should have done more, but facing that thing felt like suicide. I just wanted my son back. As soon as I started to back up, it landed in front of my truck, smashing the windshield on its landing. Its serpent-like silhouette's arms were now wrapped around the front of the truck. Its face was inches away from mine, the cracked windshield being the only barrier between us. It's like it was looking deep inside my soul with its demonic sewn-together eyes. It let out another scream, its mouth pulling down as the stitches sewed were holding it. The scream was so powerful, it looked like it was about to rip the stitching. I quickly put the truck back in the drive and floored it, moving towards the cornfield and slamming on the brakes.
The creature flew off the front of the truck from the force and fell to the ground. I watched it scramble on the ground and look back up at me. It tilted its head and started to lunge towards the truck again. Then I floored it again, running over it with my truck. As I did, I heard the rustic cries in the night. I quickly put my car in reverse and ran back over it again. Again, it cried out a high-pitched screech. I started yelling back at it now, feeling like I was hurting it more than it hurt me. I repeated this motion over and over again. I wanted to kill it for ripping everything from me. Finally, I reversed it enough to have my headlights as a spotlight on it as it laid there. I didn't want to leave, but I rolled over it so many times. Eventually, I drove to the sheriff's station as fast as I could to report everything that had happened. When we returned to the scene, the scarecrow wasn't there. They didn't believe anything I said about what had happened that night either. I mean, how could I blame them? Everything that unfolded sounded like some bad dream. They saw the state of the house and asked me again if there were some details I may be missing out on. They even questioned me, and I'm still under investigation, thinking I played some part in this. They themselves said a lot was unexplainable, but the case is still open to this day on my son's disappearance. I still hear its rustic voice mimicking my words in my head that night. I know what I saw and what took him. And it's still out there.